This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The most recent data from the National Spinal Cord Injury Statistical Center shows that more than 12,000 people suffer significant spinal cord injuries each year. The injuries are especially vexing for patients both physically and in terms of cost. Almost a third of spinal injury patients are rehospitalized each year, and the cost of care can be $1 million or more in the first year following the injury.
But a Marquette University researcher hopes that his work could be a promising step towards a cure for spinal cord injuries and the paralysis they cause. And Dr. Murray Blackmore has turned to a perhaps unlikely ally in his work, cancer genes. Moreover, his work is being supported by a grant from the Milwaukee-based Brian Riche Paralysis Foundation. Blackmore and Riche are with us in the studio to talk more about the work. Welcome to you both.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
What do spinal cord injuries and cancer genes have to do with each other?
Well, to understand the connection between cancer genes and spinal cord injury, you need to know a little bit about spinal cord injury and kind of our research goals. So spinal cord injury, it's a disconnection between the brain and the body. I think most people know that. You have these long cellular processes that run down the spinal cord. And if they're cut by an injury, the nerve cells are unable to regrow those processes. There's good news. The cellular mass up in the brain is still alive. And the part of the fiber, the axon that's connected to the cell body, that's still there. But it just can't regrow through the injury site.
So if only the message can get from the start to where it wants to go.
That's exactly it. It's a wiring problem. We just need to rebuild that cut end of the cable.
Well, and so then let's get back to what this has to do with cancer genes.
Well, if you frame it a certain way, what you've got in the injured nervous system is a growth problem. You have a set of cells that you would like them to regrow this process, but they're simply not doing it. And the thing you have to understand is what a Herculean task this growth is. So if I were a neuron up in the brain and I had a body my size and this axon was an arm coming out of my body, that arm would be miles long, okay? So think about trying to grow an arm miles long. It's a huge energetic undertaking. So trying to grow that arm it takes a lot of energy and just a lot of material. Now, what is cancer? Cancer is unregulated cellular growth. And it's unregulated cellular motility. It's cells moving to places in the body where you don't want them to be. So the processes that go wrong in cancer turn out to be exactly the processes that we want to engage to repair the nervous system.
Huh. And so when it comes to this latest work that you've received this grant for and that you've done, I guess, work leading up to, what is the latest work that you're doing and how does it contribute to what you already know?
There's an idea that's been out there for a long time, that there is a link between cancer genes and nerve regeneration. But what hasn't been done is a systematic analysis of that idea. So what we're able to do in the lab is to start with a list of genes that have been studied by cancer researchers, but have never been studied in the nervous system at all. And we're able to systematically go through this list one by one by one by one and ask the simple question, does this gene affect nerve growth? What that allows us to do is to discover completely new genes that might be important for repair.
Well, and this work has particular resonance for both of you, I gather. Brian Riche, explain how the Brian Riche Paralysis Foundation came about.
I was injured. I'm a C5 quadriplegic, so I basically have no movement below my chest. But I was injured on Marquette's campus when I was a freshman. I dove on a slip and slide. My hand slipped out in front of me, hit my chin, and that was about it. But after my injury, people raised some money for me to help pay for a lot of the expenses that go along with a spinal cord injury. They're just astronomical in a lot of sense. But afterwards, we decided to do another fundraiser and another fundraiser. And before you know it, we had the foundation and we've been trying to raise money to find a cure for paralysis since about 2001. So far, we've raised probably a little over $4 million. And we try to provide seed funding to researchers that have new ideas that might be able to find a cure for paralysis where otherwise they might not be able to get that funding to get that idea off the ground.
Well, and for people who aren't really familiar with the idea of seed funding, this is funding that hopes to someday trigger other funding, right?
Correct. Correct. So this is a perfect example. We provided Dr. Blackmore with a seed funding grant. He proposed to us. We had people look at it, researchers, and said, this might hold potential. And we were honored to give it to him. And he's proven that through the seed funding, this research might have potential. And it's awesome to see that he had another grant from, I believe, the NIH, right?
Yeah, I want to jump in and just emphasize how critical that seed funding is. The way that you really can get research done is you need large federal grants because research is expensive. But the federal funding mechanisms, they're fundamentally conservative, and they should be, right? This is taxpayer money. It should be the case that you need to be pretty confident that your idea is going to work before they put down big dollars to go after it. But it does create this problem. If you have a new idea, how do you get that little bit of data to convince the federal government to invest in it? And that's where, you know, $50,000 from the Brian Reich Foundation can make an enormous difference because it allows us to take that first step to see if we're on the right track and then leverage that into the federal dollars.
Even though it's seed money, I mean, you still have to do your due diligence. You want to look and be pretty circumspect, I would imagine, in what you're giving seed money to fund.
Correct. I'm not a researcher. I'm not a doctor. The one thing that I can do is help raise money. But you also want to be conscious of that is money that's donated from donors to help find a cure for paralysis.
Well, and just to be clear, you were paralyzed some time ago, and if my understanding of paralysis is correct, there's really kind of a limited window to be able to regenerate the processes that might reverse it. Is that correct?
I mean, right now I'm injured. There's no way for it to regenerate. Now, my hope is one day that through this type of research, something like this might cure it. There are people that after an injury do get movement back or feeling back and may not be complete, may not be full. But right now, there's no known cure.
And I mean, the sad truth is, or the double-edged sword, if you will, is that someday the therapy that could come out of this might help other people but not necessarily help you.
Correct. Correct. You know, I've been injured now 17 years. And if you look at technology and some of the research that has been done already, I've already benefited from it. I may not be walking, but there's certain things that I have now that have made my life better. And that is because of research and technology and investments into the medical field that has really helped my life out.
What are some of those things?
I have a baclofen pump. I don't know if that's ever heard before. One of the things that an injury like mine, you have a lot of different spasms. My leg may kick out or my arm may kick out or it's hard for me to move around. Well, baclofen pump, which kind of came out about 15 years ago, is actually the size of a hockey puck, goes underneath my skin, and there's a catheter that threads around and goes into my spinal fluid. And that puts that baclofen directly into my system, bypassing my liver, bypassing my stomach. So no longer do I feel foggy. I don't feel tired all the time. And it's a whole lot more effective. I mean, something like that has been a revelation for me as far as being able to do things, being more independent. Talk about wheelchairs. You talk about the advancement there. You talk about ramps. There's just a lot of different stuff out there that I wouldn't have had years ago. I mean, just talking about recreational pieces, getting out in public and doing things. I do a lot of different stuff. So
well, and as we talk, I think you have an iPad on your lap, which
yep.
I imagine has made life a lot easier as well.
I love it. I mean, it never leaves my lap. In fact, my mom yells at me because I lean over too much to look at it.
Murray Blackmore, I gather this work that you do also has some really personal significance to you as well.
It's true. I have some personal experience. My mother, she suffered a high cervical injury. So she lived for 27 years, I think, with spinal cord injury.
And not that researchers would ever, necessarily say, well, I do this because it has personal significance to me and only because of it, but it must give you some sense of either satisfaction or really urgency that you're working with people who really could see the benefit of the research you're doing today.
It's true. My research goals are very focused. I want to promote regeneration of nerves and recovery from spinal cord injury. And that's the filter through which I view all my science. Does this move me towards that goal or does it not? Earlier, you maybe suggested that it might not be possible to cure a chronic spinal cord injury. I don't think that's the case. I think that it is within reach. to take a nervous system that was injured even a decade ago. What we do in the lab is we try to genetically reprogram neurons in the brain. It sounds like science fiction, but it's actually not that hard to do. You can change the DNA in a nerve cell, and I'm hopeful that we can reactivate it in a way that we can initiate this growth response.
Well, and perhaps my understanding just comes from the current state of medicine and what is thought that we can accomplish today.
Right. Today, we can't cure any spinal cord injury, but someday, I believe we'll be able to cure a chronic spinal cord injury.
I really think that's going to happen. For me to be injured in this time period and in my time in my life, it's exciting because you see research such as Murray's and other ones that are going to the medical college and across the nation, and it's exciting to see that, and it gives me, as somebody that's paralyzed, hope that my life is going to change and even get better.
It would be something if the whole reason for your foundation's existence was suddenly irrelevant.
Not there anymore. I could go home and just hang up and watch TV or go out running or something. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Well, so can you put the latest research you're doing into a chronological context? Where is it in the continuum that goes from basic research to translational medicine to a tool that could be put readily into practice?
So we have multiple projects Sure. running in the lab, but this particular project is at the very basic discovery level. It is discovering new genes that turn out to have the ability to regulate a regrowth or not. Once that gene's discovered, then it becomes a therapeutic target, and it can be moved to the next level.
Does the research have implications that go in the other direction as well? Could better understanding of spinal cord injury and how cancer genes could be put to use someday impact how cancer is treated?
It's a great question. It's something I've thought about. Essentially, we want more growth in a nerve cell that can't grow, and we're doing that by modifying the genes in the cell. But it's certainly worth thinking about whether the opposite could be true, as you suggest. Neurons don't divide. Neurons don't get cancer. So maybe part of what could come out of this research also would be a deeper understanding of why that's the case.
And your specialty is really in the spinal cord realm. You must have to work very closely with cancer researchers to be able to understand these processes better? Or is it just
Honestly,
such a basic understanding of cancer that you really don't have to bring them in?
Where the research starts is actually online databases that anyone, you or anyone else, can go to. So what we did to launch this project is we used online databases to assemble a list of cancer genes. Then we looked at genes that were known to be important for axon growth and found this amazing overlap between the two sets, just almost a perfect match between the two, except there's a lot more cancer genes known than axon growth genes. And so it really begged the question of whether the other unstudied cancer genes might be relevant.
It's fascinating work. It really must be an exciting time to be in this field or be funding research in this field.
It is very exciting. I mean, for me, as somebody that's injured in a chair, to be sitting here, you know, talking to Dr. Blackmore, hearing his ideas and talking to other researchers, it gives me hope. You know, my dream is to walk again. And I think that will happen. May not be tomorrow, but hopefully sometime soon.
Well, Brian Riesch, Murray Blackmore, thank you both so much, and best of luck with your work.
Thank you.
Dr. Murray Blackmore is an assistant professor of biomedical sciences in Marquette University's College of Health Sciences. Brian Riesch was paralyzed in an accident at Marquette almost two decades ago. He's gone on to found the Brian Riesch Paralysis Foundation, which is supporting Blackstone's work with a seed grant.